has got a powerful presence in his house. And if we'll just stay right there and say, Lord, just bless on. Because we need to feel the presence of God in our hearts and lives. Isaiah chapter 40, starting at verse 26, reading down through the end of this chapter. He says, to whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from God. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Stop reading there with that 31st verse, and that's some good scripture reading this morning. I like to use for a text, waiting on God. Waiting on God. You see, the scripture here tells us in the previous chapter about the children of Israel, Hezekiah showing the Babylonian spies all that they had in their storehouses. And it caused the children of Israel to go into bondage. In the book of Daniel, you'll read about how they went into bondage. But God has given them a word here, a word of encouragement that he is still God. That no matter what you're going through, no matter where you're at in life, that he is the one that created all things. Everything that was made by God, and nothing that was made was not made by him. He made it all. Everything we see in this world, he made it. Verse 26 tells us that he still has control over all things that are controlled by the natural law. The earth still spins on its axis. The sun and the moon and the stars, they're still out there, and he holds them in place. All of the galaxies that's out there, and there are millions that are out there according to what we read and hear from research and the scientists, that there are so many galaxies and constellations that have never even been seen by man. Even the oceans that every day they come in and they go out. People say that's just by accident. No, God spoke it all into existence. And he controls it. He tells the sun when to come out, and he tells the moon when to shine the reflection of the sun onto you and I today. God, he said, never faints. He never faints, and he is strong in power. In church this Sunday morning, he says he never fails. Isn't that something today? God never fails. I may let you down. Others may let you down. But God will never let you down. He's never failed, not even one time. And you say, well, what about all the times that the people went into bondage in Egypt, into Babylon? That wasn't God. That was people going against God. And God showed them exactly how strong they were without him. You and I can do nothing without God. We can do nothing without God. He says in his word that, you know, we can't even understand or comprehend God's understanding at all that he knows. For the scripture says, for his ways are above our ways, and his thoughts are above our thoughts today. God knows more about you and I than we know about ourselves. I said it this morning in the opening up of the church that God knows what we need more today than we even know. How many of you come to church and you've got burdens upon your heart this morning? And we put them in a category. We list them out, how important they are. But God knows what your prayers need more than you know. Because the one that you might think is healthy might not be so healthy. The one that you look at and think, man, they've got it all together, may not have it all together at all. A few months ago, I said here in the message that sometimes we come to church and we put on our best smile and we try to act like nothing is wrong. But God knows down deep in your heart and mine those things that are heavy upon us and even things that scare us to the point that where we can't find any peace, we can't find any rest because we've got all of this upon our hearts and our minds. But I want to remind you this morning, God is still on the throne. He is still in control. If He could control the sun and the moon and the stars and all the galaxies and constellations and the ocean and the earth, I know that He can help you and I today. I know that He can. He keeps it all going. The Bible says that He said that He was give us power when we faint and strength when we have no might. How many of us have been at points in our life where we're about to throw up our hands and give up because we think we just can't go on anymore. We think that, Lord, this must be the end because I've lost all my strength. I have no might. I have no power. I have my desire has left me. And the things that used to matter really don't even matter anymore. I believe the closer we get home, the more we lose sight of this world. And our vision gets better on what we got over on the other side. We look at these things that the writer tells us, Isaiah the prophet, the major prophet, that tells us here that when even the young, he said in verse 30, even the young shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. As the Lord laid us upon my heart, I thought about all of our young men and even those that were, as he said here, that those that are young men and the youths, how many of our people today are falling when they should have strength? Many of them today have no strength and they have no power because they're looking at the wrong power source. You can't find it in the world. The world has a lot of gimmicks. Satan uses a lot of things to try to make it look like this is what will fix your situation and help you to catapult you through life and give you everything that you have need of. But Satan is a deceiver and a liar. And folks that you know and I know that are young and should be vigorous and have plenty of strength, they have none because they give in to the things that the devil is offering them. And he takes away all their strength and all their might. And he causes shame to come upon them. They're ashamed. And you say, well, why would you say that? See, they're ashamed that they have fallen so far. They've fallen so far. And before we get critical, let's look back when we was in that condition. I was ashamed when the Holy Ghost revealed to me that I was lost and headed to hell for eternity. I was ashamed that I was away from God. But God did not leave me there. He told me that He still loved me. And you say, how did He tell you? Through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God is love today. And you can't have love without God. Our young people are falling, Brother Ott. They're falling because they're looking for strength and might and power to come from the world. A lot of our people today, and I didn't know I was going to put this in, but I will. You know, when we was growing up, we didn't have the things that these kids today have. I see these kids that get, and it's everywhere, where they get all these energy drinks. And they take them, and they even tell us that really they're bad for you. And cause you to have heart problems, and cause heart attacks, and all kinds of things that goes on in the body. When we needed strength, all we had to do was think about what was ahead of us, what we had to work for. Some people say, how did you have strength and motivation? Because we had a family that taught us that if you want to have something in life, you've got to work for it. And we did. When we needed strength, you know what my strength was? The bills. That was my strength, to get up and go. Young people today don't have any strength. They're weak. And a lot of it is because churches have forgot and neglected to tell them that our true power and strength is not found in this world, but it comes through and by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We get tired along the journey. We're impatient on waiting on God. How many of you are like I am, and you say, God, hurry up and answer that prayer. I need you, Lord. We get impatient because God does not move on our timetable, but he moves on God's timetable. Some might say, well, if he truly loved me, he would help me quicker and get me what I stand in need of. God loves you, but you see, you only know what you're going through right now. God knows what's going to happen this afternoon, tomorrow, and all of this week. Anything that happens is not a surprise to God, but it is to us. It's a surprise to us. We get ahead of God instead of waiting. Abraham and Sarah got in trouble because they got ahead of God. And we're still paying for it this day because of Hagar and Ishmael. Moses got ahead of God. You remember, he slew the Egyptian that came against one of his brothers. And he got ahead of God, and it wasn't God's timetable, and he had to go and spend 40 years in the wilderness taking care of sheep. But when he got right with God, God said, now we'll go back to Egypt. And not even them, but even Peter got ahead of God. You remember when they came out to get Jesus there in the garden, that Peter took the sword and he cut off the high priest servant's ear. And Christ told him, put it up. And he restored that ear back to that fellow's head. I think if I'd saw that, I would have stayed away from him. I'd say, let this man alone. We give up on God. Some of you have been praying prayers for years, and you've not seen the answer. I want to tell you this morning, keep on praying. God never gave up on us, and we should not give up on God. We should not give up on God. We've got testimonies in this church of men and women that got saved later in life. Some of them, maybe even after mom and dad had passed and gone on to be with the Lord. But their prayers were still answered. In the book of Revelation, it tells us that God keeps the prayers of his saints. He knows every prayer that you've answered. And here, the children of Israel were going back into bondage. And he says, but I want to let you know that I will be your strength and I will be your might. We wait on God. As he says in the scripture that we ought to wait because he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. I go over to where Paul said it like this. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengtheneth me. When I am weak, I am made strong. When I am broken in spirit, the Lord comes by and renews that spirit in my heart and my soul. How many of us today need a fresh anointing from God upon our life, that we might be able to walk with God and feel His presence no matter what the circumstance may be. In this world you shall have trouble, but be of good comfort, for I have overcome this world. Amen. We may have troubles and trials that we go through, but let's keep praying and keep trusting in God and waiting upon the Lord. You say, waiting is so hard. How many of you, in a carnal sense, have something that you want and you just couldn't wait until you got it? And even you would pursue after it instead of waiting on it. You see, today we can't put spiritual things and compare them to carnal things. We ought to do the things that we could do in this life, but when it comes to spiritual things and heavenly things, we have to wait on God. And when God moves, we can see great things happen. Go back and ask Martha and Mary when they thought it was too late. I believe with all my heart they was angry at Jesus. Lord, if you'd been here, our brother Lazarus would not be dead. I believe they had an ought against him. Why didn't you come? Even the apostles that was with him said, if he's sick, let's go now. But the Lord told him, this sickness is not unto death. Right? But when they get there, they find out he's dead. Lord, why did we wait so long? And he told them, just hang on. If I can put it in Roger's words, just hang on. He told Mary and Martha, he said, he will live again. And they said, Lord, we know that he'll live again at the last day. And the Lord looked at them and said, I am the resurrection and the life. Now take me to where you laid him. And they went down there to the tomb, and he stood outside and he prayed. He called upon his Father. If I could paraphrase, I'm not doing this that I might be exalted, but I'm doing this that they might believe upon you. And he called Lazarus forth, and the stone was rolled back, and that dead man came out. Because even though he was man, he was 100% God. And he called Lazarus by name. Eddie sings that song, He Knows My Name. How many of you on a Sunday morning are thankful that God knows your name? Let's not get tired of waiting on God. I look at this world and I think, Brother Billy, there's no hope left for this world. But I keep praying for it. Because not only am I praying for it, and you are praying for it, but I remember prayers of saints that's been gone for many years, praying for God to change our world. And He, in His time, will show the world that He is still God. Sin is raging like wildfire. Everything that was wrong is now right. And if anybody is being discriminated against anymore, it is God's born-again children. We're the ones that are being accused of being haters and not caring about people. And folks, I preached here just a few weeks ago, God is love and we are love. I do not, and God does not love their sin, but He loves their soul. And we ought not change what we believe to suit the world. If God said it's wrong, it's still wrong. But we need to wait on God. I've often thought, man, I'd like to go to Congress and straighten them up. I like to go to these pride parades and straighten them up. I like to tell the homosexuals and all them that are out there that God did not make you that way. Many of them are confused, Brother Ray, about what gender they really are. That's where our young people are fainting. Because they listen to the world instead of listening to God. We had a situation, and I'll not divulge any names, where a young man said he was gay and said, "How do you know you're gay?" And he said, "Well, some guy at school told me I was. Somebody at school told me I was. Well, they told me I was all kinds of things, but I didn't believe them. I was worthless. I was poor. I would never amount to much." And they may have been right on some things, but look where I'm at today. Look where I'm at. You say, "Well, what are you really bragging about?" I'm bragging about what God has done for me. Because we wait on God and allow Him to move. You see, today, don't ever let the world or Satan tell you you are nothing. You are somebody in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And if we stay with Him, we may be talked about and criticized. But praise God, I can still say I am a child of God. I've been born again by His Holy Spirit. I waited on Him. There are some that tell you when you come to a certain age, that's when you ought to join the church and be baptized. You know what they're doing? They're getting ahead of God. I'm thankful I grew up in an era of time that nobody tried to talk you into religion. Nobody tried to talk you into salvation. But God came by every one of our hearts and knocked upon our door and asked to come in. And the best thing I ever did do was when I opened that door and allowed God to come in my life. But I had to wait on God. Mom and Dad didn't try to talk me into it. The pastor and the preachers and the deacons didn't try to talk me into it. How many of you know that you are born again? Amen. Amen. See, we waited on God and our strength came. Without God, I am nothing. But with God, I can do all things. With Him, I can do it. He said here that, you know, that the young faint and are weary. And the young men shall fall. The youth are faint and weary. I should say the young men shall fall. Today, if we look at our lives and everything that's going around us, it's no wonder many of us are a nervous wreck. Help me preach. We're a nervous wreck. I've often said it even in the messages that sometimes I hate to pick up the phone, wondering what kind of bad news is coming next. I said this many years ago here at the church, that one phone call can change your life. It can turn you upside down. But there's also a phone call that can give you a shout back in your life. To get a phone call, "Mom, Dad, I went to church today and I got right with God." Hallelujah. Oh, that would please so many of us today. And we get so bogged down with the bad things, we forget that God is still talking to us and still knocking upon our people's hearts' door. Good news that somebody got right with God. Somebody that got a bad doctor's report. And they was ready to give up. But then the news came back. It's not as bad as it thought it was. Or as we've heard many testimonies, that they said it was one thing, but when they got ready to do the operation, they found out it was not there. People said it was just a bad test result. You believe what you want to. I say, I give God the praise and the glory. We wait on God to move, no matter what it might be. If we wait on God, He'll give us everything that we have need of for this life and for the life to come. You see, God has a different vision and perspective of things in our life than what we have. God has never sat in heaven, knowing our conditions, and wringed His hands and said, "What am I going to do now?" Well, praise God. He knows what we need. And He knows the time, the right time, and the right place to answer our prayers. You say, "But I've never prayed about it." Folks, there are things that I've never prayed, but I'm trusting God for. And as I get older, I might have to start praying for. You see, I never have prayed and asked God for good health. I haven't. But as I get older, I may have to be laying flat on my back and look up and say, Lord, would you touch this servant? Would you touch me that I might be able to go? And you say, do you really believe God can do that? Amen. Amen. We look at it as the perspective we see it is that we pray and we pray and we pray and we say, but there's no answer coming. That's because we might see it as a bigger problem than what God sees it as. Or we might be reading something into it. Let me give you some examples. Tara testified about hearing the car in the driveway, pulling the driveway, or seeing the car in the driveway that the kids are out running around with. You see, Satan will come to us and give us the worst thought that he can about what's happening. He tries to take our peace away from us and our joy. God gives us peace because he knows that he sees the situation and he's got angels camped around about them. Oh, I got to preach this morning. If we would just wait on God, we say, Lord, I need peace and I need peace right now. God's saying, you're worrying about something you don't need to be worrying about. Oh, it's not as bad as what you think it is. Listen to what he said in verse 31. He said, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You say, what am I supposed to do while I'm waiting? Pray. Oh, pray. Pray and pray. Have a time of supplication with God. And I know I'm in a Baptist church, but we ought to have a time of fasting. People say, I don't believe in fasting anymore. Well, what do you do when Jesus fasted? What do you do when he tells us that if we have a need, that we ought to fast and pray? You say, Roger, that's just a way to lose weight. If that's the only reason why you're doing it, don't do it. It's supposed to be a time that we give to God and pray. He said that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It's not that we renew it. God renews it. You know, how many of y'all, and I got to watch my questions here this morning, but how many of y'all have some downtime? Not many hands went up. You know what downtime is? Is it's a time to get refreshed. How many of you go to bed at night and sleep? Right? That's downtime. What sleeping does, it restores strength back to the body. Well, I'm not telling you to go to sleep on the Lord. I'm telling you to wait upon him. Because the strength that you have need of will only come if we wait on God. If you try to get any other way, it's not going to stay. In fact, it's false strength. It's like getting one of those energy drinks. Right? I don't know how many of y'all have ever tried one. I had one given to me, and I never opened it. Never opened it. You know why? Because I don't need it. I already have too much nervous energy. I can't sit still the way it is. But you know, I like to see that in God's people. That we wait upon God. I don't want you to sing. I don't want you to testify. I don't want you to do anything unless God moves you to do it. And you say, Roger, be careful. Nobody else sing anymore. I say this. If we're in tune with God, God will give you a song to sing. I said here a few weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago now, people come to church, and I'm not preaching on the church today. God knows my heart. But we come to church and nobody has a song. And I said, well, what if I got up and said, I don't have a message? Right? It could be possible. People say, but you're a preacher. You ought to always have a message. I may always have a thought, but it may not be a message. There's a difference, is there not? Sometimes all we can do is teach. Other times we get to preach. You see, we need strength also. He said, when we get this strength, if we wait on God, we will have renewed strength. And we shall mount up as eagles. Mount up with wings as eagles. And I heard this, and I want to share it with you. See, we wait upon the Lord to give us strength, and then we will mount up with wings as eagles. Has God ever let you fly? They tell us that an eagle has such vision that it can see a fish in a lake 2 miles away. They have that kind of vision. You see, when we wait upon the Lord, He changes our perspective. I look at that lake and I say, I don't see a fish. God says, come a little higher. We look at our problems and say, there's no end to it. God says, wait on me. I'll take you up a little higher. Oh, Lord. I'll let you see things like you've never seen them before. Oh. That's why, Ron, some things that scare some people, I just say, it ain't nothing to worry about. We see things just through our eyes. God says, I'll take you up a little bit higher. I don't know how high. Sometimes I have flown pretty high. And sometimes I've had to look up to see the belly of the worm because I was so low. But I'm thankful today that most of the time I get to soar. And I know that we often use this when we get to heaven, we come to the end of life's way, but I believe God will let us soar in this life if we'll wait on Him. And I want y'all to know, my feet have not left the ground. But I'm soaring this morning. I'm soaring over my cares and concerns. I'm soaring over your cares and your concerns. And I've come this morning to bring you good news. God will give you the strength that you need. And not just strength to soar, but He said that you shall run and not grow weary. He's going to give us, and I don't believe that He's talking about a physical run here. I believe He's talking about a spiritual run. Because so many Christians are out of breath. Oh, I got to find a closing place, Kenny Banks. The slightest problem puts them out of breath because they have no strength. In fact, He says they shall walk and not faint. How many people do you know that say they've been saved have fainted by the wayside? They're sitting down because they're out of breath and they've ran out of energy. They can't go anymore. There were some groups, the Spencers, from up in Ohio, that used to sing a song that said, I think I'll run my last mile home. Some of y'all remember that song? You know what they were saying? I've waited on God. He's renewed my strength. I'm going to run. I'm not going to walk. I'm going to run my last mile home because I've got something there waiting for me. Like I never had in this life. If we'll just wait on God. How many of you believe that God can do anything? So why do we get so distraught waiting on God? Why do we get so burdened down waiting on God? Why do we throw our hands up and say, I'm just about ready to quit? It's because the adversary comes in, puts it in your mind that it's never going to get any better. Your people are never going to get saved. Those that are away from God are never coming back. But I stand upon the word of God today And I say, Satan, you are a liar. This book is the truth. And if God said, I will knock upon their heart's door, I believe, how many of you believe God will give every person an opportunity to get saved? And when I give them that opportunity, then it's up to them what they do with God. You know, we ought to pray, Lord, not that we ought to pray, Lord, save them. What we ought to pray is, God, when you speak to them, I pray that they'll open up their heart's door and receive you as their Lord and Savior. Because God did his work. God does his work. Let's wait on God. Let's change our prayers. Let's get a fresh perspective of it. Ask God to help you to wait. How many of you are, and I get a little tongue-tied, how many of you are impatient this morning? It's a good time to confess. How many of you want what you want when you want it? Right? I believe God sometimes, you know, you've probably been around a little kid that's swinging his arms, wanting to fight with you, and all you do is put your hand on their head and you hold them at bay. They can't come back towards you. I believe sometimes that's what God does to us. You need to just stop. Sit down and wait on the Lord. And God will come by. The moment that you least expect it, God will come by and give you what you stand in need of. The moment that, you know, how many of us today, and I'll close with these final questions. How many of us have been all by ourselves in a car, at work, out in the field, and God show up and speak to us? And give us a vision for what he is about to do. People say, God's never done that for me. Keep praying and have a time of supplication and fast. And God will show up and give you everything you stand in need of, plus more. You see, I'm waiting because I know God has got something big in store for us. Yeah, I've come to preach this morning. God's got something big in store for us. I like to see our homes revived. And the prophet said, without a vision, my people perish. If you can't wait on God and have a vision, you say, well, this whole book is full of visions that God has sent to us. And what we ought to be doing is saying, Lord, help me that I might see better than I've ever seen before. How many of you are looking for your lost people to get saved? How many of you are looking for your people that's away from God to walk down the aisle and get renewed to such a place that they say, Lord, I'm sorry that I missed it all this time. And how many of us are just looking for God to just come into the midst of the grand old church and open the windows of heaven and pour us out such a blessing that our cups won't be able to receive all that he has in store for us. And people say, do you really believe God can do that? I am a witness. How many other witnesses do we have in the house this morning? God has blessed you beyond your comprehension. Never thought we would be where we're at today. And I'm not talking physically. I'm talking spiritually. I've seen some of you grow by leaps and bounds because you learn to wait on God. It's hard. But the next time you get impatient, do like I do, and Lloyd said he does. Just say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And every time I've asked him, you know what he did? He's helped me. Amen? Can we have a song this morning? Because there's folks that need God to do something in your life, and you're getting impatient with God. You're trying to get ahead of God. And some are falling way behind God. You know, I don't want to be ahead of God, and I don't want to be too far back. I want to be right there beside him, Penny, walking each and every step along this journey. Because you see, if you get too far ahead, the enemy's out there. If you fall too far behind, the enemy is out there. You see, we need to get to where God can use us in such a way like He's never used us before. And you know what? Sometimes I think God gets tired of waiting on us. When are you finally going to surrender and start doing my will? When are you going to realize it's not you and it's not about you, but it's about me? God's saying, you know, I believe He's getting impatient with some of us. Because you can study the book, you can know it forward and backward. But if God's not in it, what good is it? What good is it? This morning while we stand, they sing a verse of a song. I ask you, are you waiting on God? Or are you trying to get ahead of Him? Or are you following too far back? God needs us today. We need God. So you move as God spoke to your heart.
Hear the blessed Savior calling.
Where are you at this morning with God? You know, God hears your thoughts. You may not say it out loud, but He hears your thoughts. He knows what's on your mind. He knows that you have plans someday to start doing it. And He's saying, what's wrong with today? What's wrong with today? Yes. God calling you this morning. Come and trust my might. Amen. I appreciate you this morning. I hope you got something from the message that can help you this week. Because you see, some of us today have been following too far behind. And you know what happens, you know, it's just like with the animals. We watch this many times on the Discovery Channel, I guess it is, that, you know, they put the strong ones in the front and in the back. And put the young and the weak, the elderly, in the middle to protect them. So that when the enemy comes, they'll have some protection there. Today, we've got to have protection. Amen? Because the enemy is fighting. I don't know about your household, but he certainly is fighting against my household. And instead of getting down and out, lift up your head and say, by the grace of God, I'm going to walk through this valley, and I'm going to stand on the mountain, and I'm going to praise the Lord. But don't wait till you get to the top to start praising Him. While you're down in that valley, just keep on praying and worshiping Him. And He will give you strength to make it through. God bless you today. Hope you've enjoyed being to the house of the Lord. I didn't even recognize Brother and Sister Sharp back there. And it's good to have them with us always. And come back tonight, each and every one of you. You know our crowd is down. We got a lot of folks missing, right? So a bunch of you, make sure that you come back tonight. Would you do that? And let's be prayed up and ready to worship the Lord when we come back tonight. God bless you today is my prayer.